Hey there, I am so excited to let you know that my upcoming book, Building Your Money Machine, is available for pre-order. Now, you might say, why do I want a pre-order book that I'm not going to get until June 11th, 2024, when it comes out? Here's why. First off, it's going to get you access to a whole handful of wealth resources that you can't get anywhere else. They will go away. These are special resources, trainings and tools and templates that allow you to implement them into your life, to get financial freedom started in your life. The whole idea behind this book is to light the path to financial freedom so you get the chance to live a life of choice, not a life of need. To be able to choose what you do, when you want to do it, with whom you want to do it with. And yet we seem to not want to talk about financial freedom or money or wealth because we demonize it. But the fact is that it's just a tool. And if we use the tool correctly, we have a richer lifestyle, but we have a deeper impact. People's lives are better. And I want to have that conversation. And I want to have it frankly. I want to have it openly. I want to give you the step-by-step process to get yourself the financial freedom. And that's what this book does for you. It's about getting your money to work harder for you than you did for it. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to yourmoneymachinebook.com. Check out the wealth resources that you get for free, but they're going to expire. So you need to pre-order the book today, put your information in, and then we'll make sure that we get you the resources to get you on the road and on the path to financial freedom. And until I get a chance to see you on the road or see you on that path, always, always strive to live a life that outlives you. See you soon. Hey, if you've ever struggled with trying to make a sale, or you struggled when you watched someone trying to sell and it felt sleazy or it's felt manipulative or felt, we're going to fix that, okay? Because my guest today is a dear friend of mine, Colin Boyd, and he helps people sell from stage. Sell from virtual stages, regular stages, and it may be selling product services or it just may be selling ideas, but he does it in a way that has integrity, which is easy, which isn't manipulative, and allows people to feel that they're served and to make their decision. And we have a lot of fun. We're not left alone too often without supervision because we get ourselves in trouble. So we may have gone astray a couple times in the conversation, but it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of good information, and it's a lot of things that will help you scale your income. So I look forward to seeing you in the episode. Cheers. This is the Affluent Entrepreneur Show for entrepreneurs that want to operate at a high level and achieve financial liberation. I'm your host, Mel Abraham, and I'll be sharing with you what it takes to create success beyond wealth so you can have a richer, more fulfilling lifestyle. In this show, you'll learn how business and money intersect so you can scale your business, scale your money, and scale your life while creating a deeper impact and living with complete freedom. Because that's what it really means to be an affluent entrepreneur. Dude, Colin, it's so great to have you here, man. This has been a long time coming, and I just can't wait to get into some of the stuff that you're doing now. So welcome aboard.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mel. It's a pleasure to be on the show. I remember, you know, the first time I saw you, you were up on the big stage and I was living in Australia still. I wasn't 12 miles down the road from you.
No.
And watching you speak on that big stage, I was like, this dude is the guru. He's the guy. And so, dude, to be on your show and to be a good friend of yours is an absolute honor. So I appreciate you having me here.
Oh my gosh. So for those of you that don't know, Colin and I have known each other for a while. Actually, we knew of each other because of someone else in Australia, but we didn't become friends until just a number of years ago. We were in a mastermind together, and I've watched him and his wife transition countries, transition directions in business, being able to parent and their two beautiful children, and to navigate all of that as an entrepreneur, as an expert, as someone that's a consultant, and all those things. And I think that there's so much that we can talk about from your journey, but I think let's start with you originally started doing something.
you're just a speaker. You're trying to go out and speak, and you're coaching and that kind of thing. But you, one of the things that we do with the Affluence Blueprint is we're trying to figure out, one of the keys is to scale our income, to generate and scale our income. And I think you hit that wall and said, how do I do this? I want to be a parent. I want to be a husband. I want to be a friend. And how do I do this with this career and this move and everything? So maybe we just start with your story and how we got here, how you got here and some of these things, because I think it'll, from there, it'll start to move in its own organic direction, I'm sure. And just yeah. So everyone's clear, I cannot be held responsible for what comes out of his mouth or my mouth together.
Absolutely. That's always a great precursor. So I know for me, I wouldn't have even considered myself to be a speaker when I first started. When I first started, I was a life coach and I was doing a coaching diploma. And all I knew was that I knew how to ask good quality questions and I just wanted to help people. Now, my grandmother thought, how on earth can I be a bloody life coach when I'm like 27 years old, which I totally understand. But at the time, I remember I had one client and I was sitting at my desk. I had this old laptop computer, this old wooden desk that was supported by phone books. If you remember getting phone books sent to you, what do they call them here in America? The phone books?
They were the yellow pages yeah, and white pages.
Yeah, exactly. We had exactly the same, right? We had the yellow pages, the white pages. And then it was literally holding up the desk. And so, as you can understand, like, I am thriving in my coaching business from what you can hear already. I've got one client who is paying me every other month. And I remember thinking, how on earth can I make this sustainable? Because I knew I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to make a contribution. And I was just excited about this new whole industry, really. And this was over 10 years ago. And I remember I had a call from a good friend of mine and he said, hey, I've got a speaking engagement coming up. This was a live speaking engagement. And he said, hey, I can't make it, but would you like to do it? And he actually said, I got it from another friend who couldn't do it and it's free and I can't do it. Can you do it? So obviously, as you can hear, this is the hot speaking engagement, right? Everyone wants it.
It's more like a hot potato being passed around.
It was like a hot potato. And so I said, I'd love to. I said, like, let me check my agenda. Yeah, I had no clients. So I was like, I think I'm free. And so I ended up preparing for that presentation. That night was literally a dark and stormy night. I'm walking up the stairs. Sarah, my amazing wife, Sarah, she's on my arm. It's more like I'm on hers, but, and we're going up and I do my presentation. And at the end, I make an offer. And I didn't realize this, but at the time, it was actually an irresistible offer. And so there was about 137 people there. 125 of them gave me their personal details to follow up, to do some coaching with them. And then from there, I ended up signing. It was about 12 to 15 full-time coaching clients. So I had a full stack coaching deck. And then 4 days later, I had a director from HP call me and say, Colin, we loved your presentation. Can you come and speak at our next global training day, which has got 5,500 people? Like, that's a whole nother story in itself.
You're and in so, business.
Yeah, I was in business. Like, literally overnight, my business went from one kind of like a quarter of a client to a full stacked coaching clients and then international speaking engagements and so forth. And so for me, what blew me away was how one presentation can change everything. And now with the access to virtual platforms and virtual presentations, you can scale that and just really blow up your business, you know, pretty quickly using presentations. And so that was my kind of trial by fire in speaking. And it just changed my life.
Man. So you did that. And that was well before the kind of situation that we find ourselves in now with, and the technology at the level that it is. So it was all live. I mean, it was all get on a plane and get this thing done stuff.
Yes. Like, webinars were just starting to come in and it was really kind of new. And then now I think there's even more possibility, even though you do have the restrictions of COVID, like using virtual stages and using that properly, you know, the possibilities are actually even greater now. So you just take that skill of being able to communicate and present effectively, put that on a virtual stage, and then I think there's more opportunity.
I think this is really cool to hear. How did this really start to expand, one, how you saw what was possible for your business and your family, and two, how it changed how you approached your business and the people you serve?
Yeah. So for me, one of my big goals was I wanted to be a paid speaker. And, you know, one of the kind of the benchmarks of being a good paid speaker is you get paid $10,000 for an hour presentation. That's kind of like one of the big benchmarks. And so I made it my goal. I'm like, I've got to get paid $10,000 or $10,000 for a day. Because for me at the time, when I first left my job, I was earning, you know, about $4,500 a month. So to be paid $10,000 for an hour presentation, like, would just blow my mind. And I remember I did that. And that was like really cool. And it felt like a really great milestone. And then what happened was I got asked to speak at an event and they couldn't pay my speaking fee. And so I said it was 10,000. They said, we don't have that. We've got about 4,000. So I said, oh, okay, cool. I'll just take it. I wanted to speak at the event. I thought it'd be a good opportunity. You know, like whether that's good practice or not, I'm like, I'll just take it. Okay. I need the speaking gig. And so I took it and I'm heading into this event. And I said to the event organizer, I said, hey, I've got a program that actually aligns really well with the topic I'm speaking on. Would you mind if I actually sold the program or talked about the next steps of the program on the back end of this presentation? They loved the idea. And we actually worked out like a profit split. And they were like, this sounds amazing. We would love to do this. We've never done this from a conference before. And so they were kind of very traditional conferences. And so I remember I got there, I spoke, it was a 30-minute presentation, and I got off and sat down after the presentation and the pitch, and my phone just starts vibrating. And I looked at it, and it's just, it is full of Stripe payments.
And I remember what a feeling that is.
I know. And they were like $497 Stripe payments. And they're just like, the whole phone is just like full, and I'm scrolling through them. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what on earth is going on? And we ended up doing $92,000 in 48 hours from a half an hour presentation. And that was when my mind exploded. That was when I realized that I've got to stop going after trying to get a fee for my speaking and start learning how to speak to sell and sell in a really effective way that this new generation really resonate with. And that's what got me obsessed about learning to speak and sell from stage in an effective way.
This is, if you guys are hearing this, I think that to just dig in a little bit more of what we're talking about here is Colin clearly had an expertise. He's out there, he's presenting it, he's getting paid between $4,000 and $10,000 a day to speak, depending on his mood.
It's between 1 to 10.
But when he realized that when we understand how to use our ability to communicate in a way that allows us to leverage the knowledge we have and present it in a package that allows people to buy, he literally 10x'd. Actually, no, 20x'd if we actually do the math, because it was $92,000 for 30 minutes and you were desiring $10,000 for 60 minutes. So, yeah, I mean, you 20x'd what you wanted to come out of there. And so when we start to look at that and say, talk about scaling our income for wealth creation, scaling our income for financial independence, this is a classic way to do that, to take your knowledge and put it out in the world. And back when you started it, I'm betting that the technology and the ease of doing it didn't exist. So that was a lot more cumbersome, wasn't it?
Yeah, it just didn't flow well. Like the video wasn't great, the connection wasn't great. But I mean, it's kind of fascinating because I don't think that you also don't need the best virtual setup on earth to be able to do this well. It actually comes down to your ability to communicate your message clearly, to resonate with your audience, and then to have the right triggers in place, which is what I call infusion selling. Infusion selling is like this idea of speaking and selling at the same time and actually creating an immense desire in the audience's minds and hearts to want to work with you and get the solution that you can help them with without feeling like you're trying to sell something to them in a pushy way.
You're going right where I wanted to go, because a lot of people might be cringing. Going, wait, I'm going to sell. You know, first, you want me to speak. Now you want me to sell.
Yes.
Speak and sell. None of those sound very fun for me. Because, I mean, look, I came from I'm an alien accountant, because I'm not the typical accountant. But most people, I know in my profession, the accountant world, they said, you're going out and say, what, you're speaking? I'm going, yeah. You know? But you have a very different take on the idea of selling. We'll get back to the infusion selling, but you have a very different take about selling when, you know, a lot of people will feel reluctant. They'll feel, and they're literally a Jekyll and Hyde. Their personality changes when they go into sales mode. And how do you get past that? What were some of the triggers that you used to be able to move beyond that?
Well, the first, I think it actually, for me, it starts at understanding what an offer actually is, an offer without an R.
Yeah. I was going to translate for everyone, but I think we got it.
We got it. It starts with understanding what an offer is. Because if you think an offer, which is your program, your course, your product, whatever you're selling, if you feel like your offer is a thing that just takes money from people, then your feeling around selling is going to feel like you're pushing something onto someone or you're doing a disservice to someone. But if your perspective of your offer is that it is a sacred place of transformation for the right person, then selling all of a sudden becomes a service. Mm. Because I know for me, with my program, with your program, when I talk about my offer, like our academy or our elite program, for me, it's a place that I protect. It's a place that if someone chooses to enter that space, they're bringing commitment, they're bringing integrity, they are bringing time, energy, focus, and it is a sacred place of transformation. And that is where I can see people's lives truly transformed. And so I think that if you feel integrity in your offer, then all of a sudden selling just becomes the next step of seeing really deep transformation in someone else's life. Sure, the free stuff's great. The free stuff is essentially working. It's kind of like the dating game. It's like you're working out. Are we on the same page? Do you like me? Do I like you? Do we have similar values? Can we help each other? Like, it's the dating experience, is the free stuff. And then when you join the course, that's when you're fully committed. That's when you're going one-on-one with them, or you're getting married or whatever it is, right? You're fully committed. And it's only in that space that you can truly have connection, transformation with your client.
So good. So good. So selling is serving.
Correct. And it comes back to how people see their offer. Because if people feel uncomfortable about selling, they're not feeling uncomfortable about selling. They're feeling uncomfortable about their offer.
So good. That's a great distinction. Because I think that I think about some of the journeys I've been on recently, and I know that you've been kind of down on that the same road with Sarah and everything. But when I'm talking to the doctors, we're not, first off, forget our insurance stuff. We're not talking, I don't sit there and they say, hey, we need you to go through this treatment, and everything. They say it, one, with conviction, two, with integrity, three, with the fact that they absolutely believe this is the right thing for me to do. And never once am I sitting back going, how much is this going to cost? First off, I have already feel the need to have it, the desire to have it. Second, I trust implicitly what's coming from them. And so I'm not really questioning it. But yet if I, and this actually happened, the first doctor I went and saw, he's the one that actually diagnosed me. He's the one that did it. In fact, you and I were together the week before I went to see him. And we were together at a meeting. We weren't together. I just want to clarify that because I had warned them about us. I was there on a Thursday and this doctor just did not exude the conviction. He did not exude the confidence. And it actually felt like he was actually selling me. We got to go in for surgery. And yeah, this is old hat for me. And there was just no, like you said, it's a sacred place. This was my health. This was my well-being. And it wasn't sacred to him. And it was like, yeah, this is my job. I'm just, yeah. And like Stephanie and I walked out, we sat in the parking lot that day and said, he's not touching me. And so it doesn't matter whether it's a doctor or someone else or something else that you're selling. If we don't have that level of integrity with our offer, belief in that offer, that's the place to start. Because I think that what you're saying is that if we feel like we have to convince them, it's not that. It's what we're trying to do is convince ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so with your offer, there's now that we're kind of talking about this, there's three levels of conviction you can have with your offer. The first level is that you've seen a transformation yourself. And that's the first level of conviction, is that you've gone through it. It's been amazing for you, and you feel that personal conviction on it. The second level is you've got clarity on the process. So when you get clarity on the process, which I know you help people with, like structuring their IP and structuring how they clarify even their financial plan, all that sort of stuff. When you get clarity on the process, that's the second level of conviction. And then the third level of conviction is when you've applied it to other people's lives and they're seeing the results that you saw. So it's the other person's application, and it's consistent enough that, and there's always a bell curve, but it's consistent enough that you can say with integrity that, you know, you follow this process, you're going to get some better results than what you're getting currently. And so those three levels of conviction of personal transformation, process clarity, and then other people's results are the three levels I like to take my students through whenever they're going through offer conviction.
So good. So, I mean, the bottom line is it's actually coming from within them first.
Yes.
And then you're helping them package it second, so they can deliver it and get that third level of conviction in an effective, consistent way.
Yes.
And when you do that, I think a couple things happen. One is you can now stand in the honor of your offer.
Yes.
And what that transformation is that you provide, and be at peace with it and realize that there are some that aren't going to buy and there are some that are going to buy. And that's just the way it is. And it isn't a reflection on you. It's just either circumstances, understanding, something happened. But the bottom line is that if you come at it from that perspective, I also think not only does that show, but then your ability to magnify the value of that offer goes way up.
Yeah, big time. I love that. It's like, I think it was Alex Hormozi said something the other day. He said, at the core of it, negotiation and selling comes from this place of that you're okay to walk away from the deal. That's the strongest negotiation place you can ever be. And so it's almost like with selling as well. I know for me, like if I was on CNN or some, you know, massive publication and they asked me point blank, do you think if someone wants to learn how to sell from a stage, a virtual or a live stage, do you think this is a good process to go through? Like, I would feel fine telling the whole world that 100%. Like, this will see a transformational change in their life if they go through it. But it's like that, I didn't used to always feel like that. This is what you got to understand as well. Like, I didn't feel like that at the start. I felt like a fraud. Like, I felt like, in fact, I was in the same mastermind with you and Sigrun, you know, Sigrun. Sigrun said to me, and she's like an amazing businesswoman running this like seven-figure business. And I'm standing there doing this presentation about some other subject. And she stops me in her, you know, in her Sigrun way and says, Colin, all I want to learn from you is how to sell from a stage. She goes, I would pay you money for that. And if I'm really honest, I was trying to do every other type of program because I felt so scared of going into that calling. And I knew that I felt like I wanted to, but I felt so scared of going into it. So I want to encourage people, if you don't have the conviction in your offer yet, that's totally okay. Like, that's part of the journey of doing it. And I felt like a fraud when I first started as well.
So, all right. I mean, I'm going to go with you on this because I think it is, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I think it's natural to feel that.
Yeah.
I remember someone telling me this whole idea of
it shows you're not a psychopath.
Yeah, exactly. Because he said, that's exactly what he said. He said, only those people that should not feel imposter syndrome are the ones that feel imposter syndrome. And you were part of this with me. I went through the very same thing with what I'm doing currently. And here I was, a highly credentialed CPA, CBA, valuation expert, testifying in trials, sitting on boards of directors, building multimillion dollar businesses, built multimillions for myself, doing the same thing. And when it came down to making an offer around your wealth creation and affluence and all of that stuff, I hesitated. And I had the same thing.
Well, it's the levels of conviction, because it's not a black or a white. it's actually like a scale, like you move through them. And as you move through them and as you gather more and more social proof, which is the highest level, like social evidence that your work works with other people's lives on scale, then you start to feel more and more convicted in it. I know for me, but think about it like this. I came to you before you even had your program about finances. I came to you saying, Mel, I need help with this area of my life from a strategic wealth building perspective. And you were the person that I came to because you represented that already, even though there was like doubt in there about replicating and all that sort of stuff. But you've already seen that happen in my life. And wealth has been building significantly since we started having our conversations. And so for me, like, I think if you're having people come to you and saying, could you help me with this? Like, that is a good enough indicator that you can at least start making an offer on this. And then you move up that scale of conviction. And then you get into that place of really feeling confident, convicted in your offer. And then when you sell, it's actually quite neutral. It's not, when I'm making an offer,
it's indifferent
for our Sell From Staging Academy. Yeah. It's like, I'm hoping that someone buys.
Yeah.
It's literally neutral. It's just like, we've got a program that freaking transforms people's lives and their ability to confidently communicate on a stage and sell. And if that's what you want to do, then you should do this program. If you don't want to do that, don't do this program. Like, it kind of comes down to that thing. And it's like, and if you resonate with me, because there are other people out there who teach that, but if you resonate with me and my philosophy and my psychology and my style, then do this program.
Yeah. I mean, it's exactly the case. And I think that had you not listened to the urging and the pushing from others, or I had not listened. Because listen, why do we need coaches? Why do we need mentors? There's two big reasons. One, perspective. They give us perspective that we don't have. Two, they see blind spots that we don't see. Hence their blind spots. They see potential in us. They see possibility in us, and they'll push to that potential. And they'll push with that perspective. And both you and I had that same experience that I can honestly say that if I didn't listen to you and some of the other folks, and if you didn't listen to...
I remember I felt like I texted you every other day.
I know.
to get your absolute blueprint going. I'm like, dude, let me see your program. I want to see it.
It's awesome. I mean, but both of us had to listen. And there's people in people's lives right now where people are coming to them and asking for help in something that you take for granted.
So true.
Yet if they're asking for help, they don't take it for granted. They see value in it. And I think we need to be sensitive to that and open to that to say, wait a second, there actually might be something here for me. Because if they see the value in the need, and you find it fulfilling too at the same time, man, it's a magical combination.
It is. And I think that this is why it's so good to do like a beta offer when you're first starting as well. When your conviction is not there yet, like run a beta program. I know for us with Sell From Stage Academy, I ran a beta program. It was like 1/10 of the price of what I charge now, but the program wasn't created yet. I just ran it on Zoom and, you know, we had like 35 or so people join. But for me, it wasn't about the money. It wasn't about making the money at the time in that launch. It was about clarifying, which was the second level of conviction, clarification of the process, and then also application of it in someone else's life. And that, honestly, that beta process gave me so much conviction in my program that it actually blew my expectations out of the water. And it's pretty hard to impress. I find it pretty hard to impress myself because I impress myself pretty easily.
I think I can vividly remember a moment. We were standing out looking at the beach at a break at one of the masterminds.
Yeah.
And literally talking about what you were going to do next. And I think that it was just after the pilot and, you know, the beta and everything. And I think it was at that point where the way you showed up in this content's life was completely different. And so I think that, you know, how you went about it, it's meaningful. It's important because it gave you the confidence to stand in it more and say, this is the right direction. This is what's right for me. And this is what's going to serve at the biggest level and allow me to make sure that people can, because a look, and this has nothing to do with politics. Our society is struggling more than ever, I think. We've been cooped up. We've been locked up. We don't know what's right. We don't know what's truth. And we want, you know, I'm not going to get into vaccination, not vaccination, any of that stuff. And it doesn't matter. But the one thing that is clear is people are looking for a new paradigm. People are looking for a new way to think. People are looking for a new way to live. And you and your work are helping people that have that possibility, that path to take new knowledge to the world and do it in a way that actually serves. Do it in a way that actually can make a difference in people's lives rather than take from people's lives. And I think that your work, you know, Self from Stage Academy and just in general is helping people that say, I want to live differently. I know I have a yearning inside of me. I know I have a calling inside of me, but I don't know how to take it to the world. And I don't know how to make a living in it. I don't know how to support my family with it. I don't know how to make that happen. And you give them that path. You kind of paint the lines on the road for them to get that to happen. And then from there, we then can take that and say, now let's build your money machine. Let's build the wealth and let's give you even more freedom to know that. And I think that's the beauty behind your journey is that you're doing what you love. You're loving what you do. You're making a difference in changing lives and the ripple effect of those lives that are changed to now go take their message to the world is huge. It just doesn't stop.
And that's so cool. I mean, that's the reason why I started it. Because I know for me, you know, I started coaching in 1998. That was when I started my life coaching practice. And that was when, that was the story I shared at the start, that was when that happened. It was like 1998, 99. And we've only been running Self from Stage for about 2 years now. And so I actually spent 10 years or longer really like speaking and coaching and training and speaking to consumers, essentially, like corporations and consumers and so forth. It's only just recently that I've decided to go, hey, I've gotten really good at this speaking and selling thing of selling my own products. I would love to teach other people how I've done that. And actually it was interesting because I had some really big speakers in Australia when I was living in Australia at the time come to me, and these were guys who won like Speaker of the Year and all this sort of stuff. And they came to me and said, Colin, we're watching you doing this selling from stage thing, even at the corporate events. And they're like, I don't know how you're doing that, dude. They're like, can you teach me how to do that? And I remember there was many times where I would go to a speaking event and there was four of us as speakers. We're all sitting in the green room and we're like, oh, how'd you go? I was like, oh, so good. You know, like it was so good. And then people would be like, oh, you know, oh, did you get any follow-ups or anything like that? And I was like, oh, you know, I made like $40,000 extra on like on the back end of the presentation. They're like, what? $40,000 extra? What do you mean 40,000? I was like, oh yeah, I offered like the program like straight off the back of the presentation. They're like, I didn't even know you could do that.
Oh my God.
Right. And so it's like, but it's knowing how to do that in a way that's palatable, in a way that really resonates with the audience. Because I think that there's kind of like these two kind of generations that have happened of like,
yeah.
There's the old school sales generation, which is fine. Like that's kind of where it all started. Right. And it's quite intense, super direct, highly manipulative. Now, this is the thing is that gets results.
Yeah.
But the problem is that the market has got to a level of sophistication now where it really repels a lot of people if you're just using those old school sales tactics. And so that's really where I've stepped into and gone like, hey, I acknowledge that original process, but I want to take it into a way that's more palatable for this generation. And so that we actually get people finishing and going, feeling good about the presentation no matter what.
Yeah. I remember the old sales tactics. I remember we were selling one of our properties and I was interviewing real estate agents and they tried a couple sales tactics. One couple came in and we're sitting at the table at the very end. They tried to use an old sales tactic. They tried to use a double bind on me. And I called it out. And like Stephanie was like, I go, oh no. I said, I'm not going to let that sit. And so they walked out like just surprised that I just called it out on them. And I said,
yeah.
Look, you stated it at the very beginning. And I think this is the important thing. You said there are people that this is for and they know it and they buy.
Mm.
And there's people that it may not be for them now, or it may not be for them at all. and they don't. Mm. So all the manipulation in the world is meaningless and is frankly inappropriate if that's the tactics that we're going to use to try and get a sale versus serving, supporting, informing, answering questions, and making sure that they see how they fit into it. And I think that's the difference. The integrity rests in that zone.
And I think what we have to be careful as well is not to lose the fact that you are there to make a sale as well. And so you have to balance this tension, because what people do is they go one end of the spectrum and they teach all how-to content, right? So they do their presentation, they've got heaps of how-to content, and then they do a pitch at the end and the whole energy changes. They're like, you know, the Jekyll and Hyde, like they show up as two different people and then barely anyone buys and they're wondering why no one's buying. And then they get bad comments and going like, oh, how come you did a pitch, right? That's like one end of the spectrum. And I know why people do that is because they want to help. Like most people who are in the coaching space, expert space, they want to contribute, they want to help, but they go to all the how-to content. And then the other side of the spectrum is like the pure sales like content, which is like, it feels just like icky. Like you feel like you have to take a shower after you deliver it and after you experience it. And so the goal for me is to find that middle zone where you're actually acknowledging really useful, effective sales methodologies, but also respecting the customer and their journey and meeting them where they're at and resonating with them on a deep level, so that if they're the right fit and they're ready to make that commitment, then they've got it, then you're the next step.
And that's the basic premise of this whole idea that you talk about infusion selling.
Yes. There's nine, because it's really practical as well. Like right now we're talking quite, you know, conceptual. Yeah. It's really practical. Like there's nine elements of infusion selling that you can implement, you know, and it really does make one of our good friends, you know, John Acampora.
Yeah.
So John joined our program, Sell From Stage Academy, 2 years ago. It was pretty much the inception of it. He was like one of the first customers. He bought it full price, not at the beta price. I made sure he bought it full price. But do you know what's crazy? He was running a webinar and he was seeing 2% conversion on his webinar. He used one of the strategies, which is what we call micro decisions. One strategy, his conversion rate went from 2% to 14%. Like he's still running this same webinar that he built using my methodology on Evergreen now, and he doesn't launch anymore. All he does is just run it on Evergreen, and he is running the most profitable business he's ever run in his entire life. And so what's crazy is like the power of these adjustments can quite literally change people's lives. And that's the reason why I know John, like John just bought, he just bought an amazing house just down the road from us. You know, like it's a significant investment. But what's cool is like, I think about it, like I was part of that journey. And I, obviously, you know, I'll take more claim than I'm allowed to for part of his journey. No, not really. I was a very small part of his journey. But I think like I was a small part of his journey of creating the financial freedom and the financial wealth that he's got in his life now because of just some simple tweaks in his presentation, just like tripled, quadrupled his conversion rate. His Evergreen funnel went to... It's staying at 9%, he said to me the other day, 9% conversion on an Evergreen funnel, which is insane.
Insane.
Right? So the live one was at 14, then he went to Evergreen and stayed at 9, but it's just like blowing up. And so what I'm saying, and this is another example of one dialed in presentation can change your life forever. And with the technology we have now on, you know, Evergreen models and so forth, you apply this methodology, infusion selling, to like one presentation, put it on autopilot, and it can change everything. And I'll give an example because the people are probably going like, what's infusion selling, right? So this is like one of nine, which is the micro decision. So micro decisions are small decisions that the audience make throughout the presentation so that it increases desire to see change in their life. And so there are specific decisions that people make around the content that you're teaching. So for example, I could ask a question like this. I could say, on a scale of 1 to 10, how effective are your presentations getting you clients right now? If 10 is every single time you deliver one, you get a flood of clients, and 0 is like you just get nothing or you get some claps and nice comments. Like, where is it right now? And people might go, oh, I'm like a 6 or I'm a 3 or I'm a 2, right? And then I'll ask a question like this. Maybe it's, imagine 6 months from now and you had a presentation that you knew got you clients every single time you present it. Like it was guaranteed. You run a webinar, you're going to get a flood of clients. What possibilities would that open up for you? What would that give you in your life? How would that feel? Just like that, what's the feeling that comes to you when you think about that, having that dialed in presentation? Now, my final ask is this, is that you would make a commitment to working on that journey, to build this asset so that you can actually use that and leverage that to build the life you've always desired in your business. Can you commit to making that journey, starting that journey today and just starting to work on it yourself? Right, that's an example of a micro decision. And what came up for you as I was going through that right now?
Well, I think the biggest thing that came up for me is that the reality is that it was all from, like, if I was in the audience, and I have been in the audience, is that it was all from my perspective. It was what's going to happen in your life? How are we going to help you? What is going to be different? It's coming from a place of what's going to better me and everything. And I think that it increased the awareness of where you are, where you want to go. It increased the desire to where you want to go. And I think by proximity, we assume, well, if he's asking me about the problem I'm having and the solution that's there, and the desire that's there and that gap in between, he probably knows the solution to fill that gap. I think by proximity, you become the default go-to for that. And I think that, and it's a clean way to do it. None of it felt like, you know, let's twist the knife. Let's rub the salt in the wound. Let's create the pain.
Or even the cheesy stuff like, who wants to make more money? Who would love to make $1 million in one presentation? Like that's like, I don't know, it just feels like weird and old and icky. Like,
so you're not one of those that goes out and shows your Lambo. I know you don't drive a Lambo.
I drive a Lexus. But yeah,
there you go.
roll up. my bicycle. I think when we caught up, I was riding my bicycle. I love riding my bicycle.
Yeah.
I got to ride. One of my goals was to ride my bike to a speaking engagement. And I spoke at a mastermind in Newport Beach a little while ago. And I literally rode my bicycle to a speaking engagement.
So
it was
good.
Sick. Anyway. Yeah.
Man. So here's the thing. And I know that we could talk for days on this. And there's so much.
The 24-hour podcast.
I know.
World's first 24-hour podcast.
There's an idea there.
Yeah.
Which it'll be you and I listening and that's it. And talking at the same time. So here's the thing, couple things. If there's a couple of steps that someone that is thinking about this, someone that's sitting back saying, how do I scale my income or how do I take my knowledge? One, what would those be? Two, I know that you have a lot of different ways that you can support people that are looking to do this. So how can they find out more? How can they live into this more? And who is it really for? Who do you really serve at the highest level? And I know a lot of those answers, but I think that'll be good for us to just have a conversation around that too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, you know, for those of you who have listened to this and you feel like you resonate with me and you, this is an area that you want to develop, like you actually want to get better at speaking on a virtual stage, like a stream, like a Facebook stream or a webinar or something like that, and you want to get better at confidently selling, then I think some practical things to do is, first of all, like, think about how convicted are you on your offer yet? And have you gone through those three levels of offer conviction? And knowing that it's okay if you're not at the top level yet. Like, it's, that's just that journey. And just first of all, being aware about where you are. Second of all is actually deciding that that's something you want to do. Someone asked me a question the other day and it was a little while ago, and they were actually a former, this was before they were a client. They just asked a question. They just said, hey, Colin, I want to get more speaking engagements, or I want to be a speaker. Like, what's the first step? And I said, well, you've got to call yourself a speaker. So you write on your bio, I'm a speaker. And she was like, that's so simple, but it's actually an identity.
Yeah, it is.
It's an identity that you deciding to be a speaker. And for me, a speaker, and you could literally swap the word speaker for leader, because a speaker is someone who influences people en masse. So like, it's a one-to-many experience. And a leader is someone who influences one-to-many people. And so really, it's about you saying, I want to be a leader. And I think making that decision, and maybe it's updating your bio or whatever. And you make that decision before you are that. I know for me, I decided I wanted to speak before I started speaking. And you start attracting that into your life. And there's been tons of stuff that we've gone through on the podcast. And so, you know, for those of you who are really serious about that and you resonate with me, some simple, easy next steps are, I run a podcast myself. It's called The Expert Edge. You can find it on iTunes or any other platform you listen to. I've interviewed Mel on it and many other market leaders on there. So it's called The Expert Edge. The next step, which is kind of like really practical as well, is they can download one of our free guides, which is, I think, one of the most useful ones that is an infusion tactic itself and goes into more infusion selling, is the Persuasive Content Builder. So if they go to persuasivecontentbuilder.com, you can just download a simple guide there. And then we also do run trainings, like free workshops and free trainings for people. We've got one coming up pretty soon on the release of this podcast, which is virtualstagestraining.com. So virtualstagestraining.com. And I go in depth into all the content we've gone through, how to structure a presentation that sells, infusion selling, and all the sort of stuff involved in that.
So we'll make sure that we hook this all up in the show notes. I want to clarify one more thing, because I think that a lot of people might be listening going, I don't really want to sell anything. You know, I believe that, well, there's two things I believe is, one, everything's a negotiation, everything's negotiable, but everything's a transaction. That you may not be selling a product, a service, where there's a transaction that's going to occur, where there's a transfer of money, but there might be a transaction that's going to occur with a transfer of ideas and ideals. And the same concepts, the same principles, the same things are important. As Colin, you said, you know, I see speakers as leaders. Well, leaders are people that are selling ideas. They're selling visions. They're selling movements. They're selling missions. So whether you believe that out there, you're saying, well, I don't have anything to sell. Well, I would challenge that, because I think we all have something to sell. It might even be just selling, hey, kid, clean up your room.
You know? That's a tough one.
It's a tough one. But I mean, if we learn ways to communicate at a higher level, a more effective level, and this is one of those avenues to do that, is working through you, then it serves us in all aspects of our life. And so I think that, I know that the primary focus is selling products, services, and coaching and speakers and everything, but I still see the value in anything that helps us communicate better.
Oh, absolutely. And it's so funny. I actually I've read a few people's like stories, some of our students. And I remember one particular one. And the lady said, when I first joined, she said, I actually didn't want to sell from stage. All I wanted to do was become a better speaker. And she said, as soon as I understood the process and how easy it was, I decided to just give it a go. And she ended up getting like 6 one-on-one coaching clients from her first we call it a no-sell. A no-sell is where you don't do a direct pitch on the end of it. And she used the no-sell process. And she got 6 one-on-one coaching clients, which ended up being like $35,000 or so from, you know, a $3,000 speaking engagement. And she was like, oh my gosh, like this stuff just works. This is crazy. And she was like, and it was so much fun. It didn't even feel like I was selling. And so this is the thing, is like, even if you come from that place of going, I don't want to necessarily sell a product yet, that's totally fine. Like just learning how to communicate more effectively from a stage, a virtual stage or a live stage, eventually, if that opens up ever in 2032, but it doesn't matter. It's the same skill. It's just like different technical elements. And so I think it's, you know, it's one of the core skills of being a leader if you want to grow anything and make an impact in your life.
So good. So good. Colin, so good to have you on the show, my friend. We'll make sure that everyone gets linked up. Check out Colin. Check out what he's doing. If you're trying to scale your income, if you're trying to take your information, your knowledge out in the world, he's a guy to be following.
Well, I appreciate you having me on here, Mel. You're a good buddy. And I look forward to connecting to those people who connect with me. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, man. Thank you for listening to the Affluent Entrepreneur Show with me, your host, Mel Abraham. If you want to achieve financial liberation to create an affluent lifestyle, join me in the Affluent Entrepreneur Facebook group now by going to melabraham.com/group. And I'll see you there.